I'm excited to talk to former NFL and Alliance of American Football quarterback, Garrett Gilbert. Garrett, welcome, my friend.
Man, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my friend. I know we were just catching up on old Patriots stuff, but I got to know. I know Patriots, but like Bills, was Bills your team growing up?
So moving around all over the place, I did like the Bills, but I was actually I hesitate to throw this out there now with all the different teams I've played on, and it's kind of a little interdivision rivalry there. But the Broncos were my favorite because I liked watching John Elway play, and he was my first favorite quarterback growing up. And so, they were kind of my favorite team growing up. There was not a ton of loyalty. My dad didn't really have a favorite team. We lived in Texas. Yeah. He didn't like the Cowboys. No, yeah, the Cowboys beat him out of a couple Super Bowls when he was in Buffalo, and we were not Cowboys fans when we first moved to Texas, and as everyone else is in Texas, and I was like, well, the Broncos are pretty good, so I'll just, you know, I was a 6-year-old kid. I was like, oh, this team wins all the time. That's fun. I'll watch them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, talking about your dad, it brought me – I went down a rabbit hole, an old Buffalo Bills rabbit hole, that they have the distinction of being the only team to go to four consecutive Super Bowls and not winning between 1990 and 93. Your dad, former NFL quarterback, Gail Gabbert, played for the Bills from 89 to 93. So in your first season, pretty much like first season in the NFL, right? Like you got a Super Bowl ring. And so like, did you rub it into your dad, and like, you know, like after all those attempts, you got one right away?
Absolutely, I do. I will say, so he actually, I think he's a record holder in this department. He went to the Chargers after the Bills, and he went to a fifth in a row. So he lost all of them because they got beat by the Niners. So I get in the NFL and sign with the Pats, as we were just talking about, ride Tom's coattails all the way to a Super Bowl title. Of course, he's my first call after the game, and because we got 5 AFC championship rings at the house growing up. I'm like, Dad, it's really not that hard.
Right.
Now, the rest of my career, 9 years, I went to one playoff game. So, you know, I maybe got a little bit of karma there for that one.
I mean, not only do you have a Super Bowl ring, but you have probably one of the best Super Bowls, maybe second to best, but like that moment with the Malcolm Butler interception. Do you remember where you were during that moment?
I was standing on the other end of the sideline, trying to sort of stay out of the way as instructed by the head man. You know, kind of excitement sort of got the best of me, and I went running down the sideline with my hands up in the air. In fact, I always like to, like, when I see that clip of Tom celebrating after the interception, you can see me kind of with my palms up in the air behind him. And so I always laugh when I see that clip, just watching myself sort of standing there in the background.
Yeah, that's awesome. So my last question about the Bills back in the day, does your dad ever talk about the infamous Scott Norwood wide right?
A little bit. I will say, when I was growing up, I always, you know, the backup quarterback was the holder. So for a while, I sort of thought my dad was maybe the holder, and I didn't want to bring it up to him, thinking maybe it was his fault. Of course, it turns out it was the punter. But we don't talk about it too much, just, you know, rubbing salt in the wound. But I did kind of think it was him when I was younger.
That's pretty funny, actually. So I have a tradition here at these interviews. Like anytime I interview anybody that played Texas high school football, like I need to ask about Friday Night Lights. Like, what's your experience playing Texas football?
Man, it was so much fun. It was, I mean, you know, the show, the movie, a little bit dramatized, of course, but there are towns where you feel like you're in the movie and the show. And I think probably the best for me, the experience as you know, as close to the TV show and movie as possible, is the fact that so into our playoff games, my junior and senior year, we were actually fortunate enough to go all the way and win the state championship both years. There were probably more fans in the stands for most of those playoff games than there were for probably 80, 90% of my games at SMU once I transferred. So, It's definitely big time. I mean, and then you get to like now where they have all the state championships at AT&T Stadium, and there's like as many people for the big high school games as there are at like Cowboys games. I mean, they fill that place out.
That's crazy. And I know you led your high school team to an undefeated season and a state title. Like, was it more joy or relief after that? What do you remember?
Definitely joy. That was for me. I always tell people that was, I mean, no, not many people get to play in the NFL. Not many people get to play college football at a high level, and I'm so lucky and blessed to have gotten to do that. But like looking back, playing with my best buddies all growing up, and then be able for it to culminate in that scene, our senior year. I mean, that's one of my fondest memories of all time in terms of football wise.
And talking about Texas football in 08, you won Mr. Texas football. It feels like you should be on like a front of a calendar. And then the Gatorade National Athlete of the Year. Like, how did you handle like all that attention and and all the kind of hype at such a young age?
Well, number one, my parents just, I'm fortunate to have had, like we talked about, my dad to have played football. So I had a little bit of a leg up there in regards to how to deal with it. But then I think there was still a learning curve. I like to wake up in the morning and read the newspaper when I was a kid and just look through the sports section. And, to me, I always dealt with reading about myself in a positive light much better than I did when I would read about myself in a negative light. 'Cause I, once I got to Texas, things didn't necessarily go so well for me. And, I had a hard time kind of blocking that stuff out, at least as a young guy. I feel like I got a lot better at it as my career went on, but, there was definitely a learning curve there.
Yeah, I mean, take me to draft night. I'm always so curious of guys' draft nights and like expectations and kind of that feeling there. What do you remember from it?
Yeah, I had actually I got drafted in the sixth round. I had actually quit watching by Saturday afternoon. By the time my name got called, I went in the other room and I turned on a golf tournament. I was watching the Players Championship, and the Rams called. I was able to sort of catch my breath a little bit, and I mean, it's obviously a dream come true to get to see your name come across that ticker whenever it's called. And I was able to run back into the living room and get back in there to see my name come across the bottom of the screen as they made the announcement. So I and being able to watch at home with family and friends and my wife, and that was unforgettable.
Yeah, very cool. In 2019, you decided to play in the Alliance of American Football League. Like, what was that transition like? And talk to me about the time there.
Yeah, so that was I had an opportunity to play in a couple of spring leagues. I spent a lot of time in and out of football during my career. Get signed, get cut, get signed, get cut. And 2018, I ended up basically on the couch for the whole year. And I had some opportunities to go play in Canada before that, and just didn't feel right. And I kind of thought, you know what, I'm going to give this one last shot. Go play, go have fun, go get to be a starter again. And getting to play for Coach Spurrier in that league, I mean, it didn't make it a full year. We ran out of money halfway through the year. Some parts of it were just all over the place, but overall, it was an absolute blast getting to play with a ton of guys who were kind of in the same boat as me. There was a lot of guys that were, this is their last shot. They either want to go play football one more time, or they're trying to get back into the NFL, and we had a lot of fun doing that together.
That's awesome. I mean, you brought it up, right? You're a career journeyman and been on a lot of teams, and especially taking on such an interesting role and like as the kind of practice squad, but especially like QB, like it's like it could be the most underrated role, as I've heard other people talk about, especially the defense, right? Like being able to mimic a real like life situation, a real game situation, how valuable that is. And so how you keep a strong mindset through it all, and like is there a certain like advice you got over the years, or like how do you stay mentally strong through all of it?
I learned a lot from a number of different guys that were able to find a way to stay in the league as backups for a long time when I was a young guy. Dan Orlovsky, Sean Hill, Derek Anderson. You learn stuff from guys like Tom and guys like Cam Newton. And just the way they approach every day, how they get themselves ready to play, even if they're, not going to play unless there's an injury. And those guys, I would say they were just such a great example for me in terms of how to prepare yourself every week. I don't know if there was any specific advice. I would say the other big thing for me was I'll fall back on my support cast. That, my wife was a trooper for, 9 years. All this moving, going back, living in hotels, and she was really great in terms of keeping me positive and being along for the ride. Really, that kept me going.
It's such an interesting career, but let's talk off the field, if you will. So you have a podcast going. Let's tell us about the podcast.
This is just kind of a budding idea from a buddy of mine and I. We played together in Carolina, Brenton Burson. Not entirely sure where it's going to go yet, but we're pretty excited about it. As I said, just sort of starting up. The Never Beens, sort of a play on has-beens, guys who he and I had sort of a similar journey. He played only in Carolina, but kind of just on and off the roster for a few years, and feel like we have an interesting perspective on the game. Just want to share a little bit about our story on a weekly basis, as well as hopefully have some guys on that have gone through a little bit of a different journey as us, and kind of can talk to them and learn about where they're at and where they're going. And then I think most importantly is just have some fun with it. We don't want to be too interviewee, but just kind of learn about guys and their careers and then what they do off the field as well.
It'd be awesome. Well, everybody here will definitely have to check it out, and we'll link to it. But here at the Playing Field community, we want to like support each other when everybody's up to. So how else can this community support you?
Man, I'm right now I'm just trying to figure out what in the world's next. I sort of in that in between period right now. And fortunate enough to have some time to sort of to figure that out and decide what I want to do, what I want to get into next. But it's interesting when you've been playing football all your life, trying to decide and make a move into quote unquote the real world, the corporate world as a young man still, but not so young anymore. And so I'm navigating that right now, but it's been fun, and I'm learning a lot. So that's the biggest thing, is I'm learning a lot. And I think, right now learning about what I don't want to do is kind of one of the biggest things for me. And then I can sort of narrow it down from there.
Yeah, I mean that's half the battle, right? What
Absolutely.
you don't want to do. So two quickies before let you go here. But I mean, what best fan base for the teams you played for? Who would you say?
One is a very tortured fan base, and one's a very spoiled fan base. The Browns were awesome. The fans, they, regardless of the game, regardless of who we were playing, what the game meant, they showed up every week. They were awesome. And then obviously the Pats have been spoiled for so long, but great fans. The quote unquote, the sleepy little town of Foxborough is a really fun place to be on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we're all wishing Mac it's good luck. So you played for Coach Belichick almost like 8 years or so apart. So in the later years, did you think he's changed coaching? Did he soften up a little bit? I mean, you first saw him in one of the like most like high pressure moments, playoff going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would definitely say there's a little bit of change. I don't know where it comes from. Some of it potentially, guys, coaches mature and change a little bit. And obviously he's been doing it for as long as anybody. And I can't say enough about how much I appreciate Coach Belichick and what I learned from him about the game of football in general. But giving me multiple opportunities, being able to come play for the Patriots on numerous on 3 different occasions. I really enjoyed my time up in New England. I think the one thing in 2014, when I got there week 16, that team was on cruise control. So, there were definitely some, you hear about all the team meeting moments. And obviously he didn't hold back on anyone, but by that point, that team was on cruise control. And then, you get into a more developmental stage early in the year, the in 2021 and 2022, you see a little bit of you see a little bit different side of them in team meetings, and I appreciated all of that and both sides of it, just getting to see a team that's dominant and going all the way to the Super Bowl, and a team that was in both cases struggling to make the playoffs in the final weeks of the season.
Yeah, really interesting perspective. So, Garrett, man, I really appreciate the time today, and best of luck of, with what's ahead. No doubt it'll be big stuff.
Thanks so much, Ben. I appreciate you.